Yesterday, I saw that one of the Hamas commanders responsible for orchestrating the attacks was located and eliminated. And that elicited some complex emotional reactions on my part. You know, on the one hand, I'd be lying if I said there wasn't an element of happiness and even celebration. But on the other hand, you know, it makes you stop and think about, is it ever appropriate to celebrate somebody being killed? This is a person who inflicted so much pain and so much trauma, both on his personal victims and on the family members and loved ones of his victims, and by extension in all of Klal Yisrael. And, you know, there's something that seems right and appropriate about him being terminated, and even a cause for happiness. But again, is there ever room really to be happy with a person being killed? So this is actually a topic which is discussed at length in the Torah. The pasuk in Mishlei says, "Binupol oivecha al tismach." You shouldn't rejoice. You shouldn't celebrate with the falling of your enemy. And in fact, the Gemara tells that when the Mitzrayim were drowning in the Yam Suf, the Malachim wanted to sing Shira. They wanted to sing songs of celebration or of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped them and said, "My creations are drowning and you're going to sing songs?" And these are the Egyptians. They were terrible to us for 210 years. They enslaved us and oppressed us and killed us. And still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not allow the angels to sing Shira. Now, we did sing at that time. We sang Shirat Hayam. We sang Az Yashir. Nonetheless, the Beit Yosef does quote the idea that the reason we don't say a full Hallel, or among the reasons we don't say a full Hallel on Pesach after the first day, is because our celebration and our ability to sing is diminished by the death that came to the Egyptians. The fact that our celebration and our redemption came at the cost of the death of the Egyptians somehow diminishes our celebration. We see a similar concept in the story of Yonah, right? Yonah, at the very end, Yonah was distraught that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would spare the people of Nineveh, who are terribly wicked people, and God gave them another chance, and they repented, and this bothered Yonah, this upset him. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him a lesson, right, where he had a tree that was giving Yonah shade, and then he took the tree away, and Yonah was upset that the tree was taken away, and that now that he was being, you know, exposed to the sunlight. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "You know, you're upset over the loss of this one tree. You know, how do you think I feel about if I were to wipe out the entire city of Nineveh? These are my creations." And again, we're talking about wicked people who, a short time afterward, after they repented, returned to their evil ways. Nineveh is the capital of Assyria, and it was the Assyrians who, and Sennacherib, who exiled and slaughtered many of the 10 tribes. So we're dealing with wicked people. Nonetheless, the sentiment seems to be the same. So all of that being said, you know, we started with the pasuk in Mishlei, "Binapol oivecha al tismach." The truth is, there's another pasuk in Mishlei that sends us in the total opposite direction. The pasuk in Mishlei also says, "Ube avod rishaim rina," right? That with the loss of rishaim, there's celebration, there's rejoicement. Meaning, it's appropriate to rejoice in the loss of rishaim, in the death, essentially, of rishaim. Similarly, the Gemara in Brachot says that David HaMelech, the author of Tehillim, he wrote 103 prakim of Tehillim and never used the word Halleluka. He never used that celebratory word until he spoke about the chotim, the sinners, ending from the land, meaning the sinners being completely wiped out from the land. Then he used the words Haleluka. So David HaMelech is certainly celebrating with the downfall of the Rishayim, and his son Shlomo authors in Mishle that the loss of Rishayim from this world is certainly a cause for celebration. I want to stop here before we address how exactly to treat this contradiction, and just mention that perhaps the very fact that there's a contradiction, and a contradiction not just amongst different sources, but amongst the same source, how you can have Shlomo HaMelech convey in one place not to rejoice with the fall of your enemies, and in another place to rejoice with the death of the wicked, that perhaps the contradiction itself, regardless of how you resolve it, reflects the fact that the issue itself is one that's complex, and the answer, therefore, must be nuanced, and our approach must be nuanced and must be carefully considered. So the first resolution that we'll see comes from the Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah relays that while Haman was taking Mordechai around, as we're familiar from Megillat Esther, Mordechai kicks Haman. Now, Haman was a terribly wicked person who was not just trying, but seemingly at that time succeeding in executing a mission to eliminate the entirety of the Jewish people. So Mordechai kicks him, and Haman was having a bad day, and he says to Mordechai, whatever happened to Benapolo Ivecha Al Tismach, don't rejoice with the falling of your enemy. And Mordechai said, that's written about fellow Jews who I have a responsibility to reconcile with, who I'm not supposed to hate, who I have a responsibility to get along with. But you're an enemy of Israel, and so this doesn't apply to you. So that's reconciliation number one, being told from Mordechai's perspective, that perhaps this idea of Benapolo Ivecha Al Tismach is speaking strictly about people you don't like within Klal Yisrael, because you have the responsibility to make amends with them. However, earlier on in Masechet Megillah, you have a much more direct response to these exact two psukim that we're struggling with. On the one hand, the rejoicement of the death of Rishayim, and on the other hand, the hesitation in being happy over our enemies falling. There, the Gemara says something interesting. Says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does not rejoice in the falling of the wicked. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't rejoice when the wicked fall, but we're allowed to, which explains our response to Kriyat Yamsuf. The Malachim were told not to rejoice, but we, the victims of the Egyptians, so we were certainly allowed to rejoice. Right? So there's a difference here between HaKadosh Baruch Hu might not be happy about it, but we are allowed to celebrate having been the victims of their evil. Rav Nevensal is medayek. Rav Nevensal points out in Tehillim, we say on Friday night by Kabbalat Shabbat, Ohavei Hashem sinu ra, ra velo rishaim, that those who love God, they hate evil. Not necessarily wicked people, or specifically not wicked people. But if you truly love God, and as we just mentioned, God doesn't celebrate with the falling of the wicked. If you truly love God, then you find a way to hate the evil without hating the wicked perpetrator. However, the Maharal takes things in a different direction. Maharal explains, why is it that this is something God doesn't celebrate, and yet we don't have the same expectation, right? In general, we try to emulate God. In general, God's response is the model for our response. Here, we see, we are free to celebrate when our enemies fall, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't, right? What is the cause of the difference between our reaction, the legitimate reaction on our end, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reaction? So Maharal explains, he says, first of all, we're looking at it from different angles. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is distraught over the corruption. the fact that you had a person with potential to do good, to do wonderful things, and instead becomes a source of destruction and is terminated with that being his legacy, with no ability to fix it, just a person who is corrupt and destructive, that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu mourns, right? The loss of potential of a human being who could have done something good and doesn't, right? We're celebrating because we're looking at the loss of evil from this world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the corruption and mourns that this is what a human being chose to do. We are seeing the loss of evil, and we are celebrating a world with a little bit less evil in it. And that's a cause for celebration. But the Maharal goes on and points out, really there's another criteria, another consideration here. If the Rasha, explains the Maharal, based on a Gemara in Psachim, says, if the Rasha is lost or killed as a result of their wicked actions, that as well as cause for celebration, right? Why? Well, says the Maharal, what you don't celebrate is there's someone you don't like, someone you don't think is particularly good, and something bad happens to him, right? And then you say, that guy had it coming, right? But if someone seems to be being punished as a direct result of the evil that they are perpetrated, that we can celebrate, right? Because that's justice. That's not just being gleeful because, you know, this person I don't particularly like and this bad thing happened to them. No. If you see a person behaving in a wicked fashion, right, and is then punished for behaving in a wicked fashion, that's justice. That's something that we want to see in the world. That is cause for celebration. So the Maharal navigates this complex dynamic and says, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mourning over the corruption in this human being. But we can celebrate the fact that the world has less evil in it, and we can celebrate the fact that there is divine justice in this world. Those two things, those are cause for celebration, even though it is a tragedy that a person with so much potential used it only for destruction.